Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. I will share about my trip, I think, in a moment, but I felt that come out of my spirit from Him, how thankful we are for Him. Amen.
Amen.
That not only has He brought us hope and strength and courage and purpose, but even life itself. I think we can forget that without Him, you were born into a race of humans destined to spend eternity separated from God. Without the love of God towards you, towards all of us, but towards you, towards me, He would have just left us and started somewhere else. Let the human race run for eternity. What love does He have for you and me and for every person to go through all that He has to stop the damage that Satan inflicted on the human race and bring us a cure called Jesus. Without Him, we would not even have life itself. I think that'll be our message today. Why don't we go then to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. So the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. We understand this world's coming to an end. Everything built, the tallest tower in the world, the most beautiful statue, the Statue of Liberty, all around the world, all that man creates and has created is going to disappear and be done with, destroyed, finished, and be a story we tell a billion years from now. But it itself will come to an end. The wisdom of man has an end. The wisdom that comes from God never ends. The wisdom that comes from man loses its power when it ends. The richest man in the world dies just like the poorest man in the world. There's an ending to man's wisdom, to man's power. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, this message is a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the what? Power of God and the wisdom of God. So, look at me real quick. The only wisdom you'll find that lasts forever comes through Christ. The only power that lasts forever comes through God. So I went on a trip last week. Thank you for praying for me. It was an adventure at the beginning, just to wonder how I would do what God was telling me to do. How many know when God tells you to do things, sometimes you don't know you can do it. But you do it anyway. Then at the end, you're thankful you did it. And along the way, He teaches you things. So we have a great report from Brazil They're still hungry for God. They're still walking with us. We have many, many brothers and sisters who've been touched by the message of the prayer center, praying and fasting and worshiping, who are still walking in the power, walking in prayer, and haven't given up the hope that they can go beyond themselves. Amen? Thank God for the message that allows us to go beyond ourselves. You can be born in poverty. You're not limited by the birth of your natural man because you have access to power that comes from somewhere else. You can be born and trained to be undisciplined, the weakest member of the tribe and of the weakest tribe. And God will still pick you and choose you because our power, our strength, our wisdom comes from beyond our own ability. Amen. It comes from where? I'm pointing up just in case you didn't hear what I said. From where? There's wisdom and power that comes from God that cannot come from man. Cannot find the source within yourself, within your natural self. Better description. Because you have a natural body that you're wearing that will try to tell you how to find power to solve your problem, how to find wisdom to solve your problem. And it will reach into a world that is coming to an end. It will find wisdom that will come to an end. But there is a wisdom and a power that you have access to. And that never ends. And that power and wisdom comes from God. I was, I'm trying to tell you my story of last week to let you know, thank you for sticking with us and praying with us. It brought so much courage to me. If I smile, I stop crying, so. There's a deeper part of this story. I would say, excuse me. Halfway through one of my messages there, because they put me to work pretty good. I preach pretty much every day. And halfway through one of the messages, it was like God said to me, or I said to myself, this is why I became a preacher. It was a sermon where we ended up with three suicidal girls, so two girls, one man, coming up and being set free and healed. There's a reminder in the heart of God today that we're here to rescue the broken. And not just fix them for the moment, but to put hope in them. That there's power available to you that doesn't come from you. You being the natural man. But it comes from God. That's available to you. No matter how desperate you are or lost you are. And if it reminded me why I started preaching in the first place. Not to be a preacher. But to give help to the broken. Who cares about the preaching? It's about helping people. And I always knew that, but I was reminded, the broken aren't going to find you if you put fear in them. They're going to find you if you put hope in them. Amen. And see, the point of today's message is to say, what good are we if we don't put hope for the broken? There's broken people who don't look broken, but they're broken. They're lost. They don't know they're lost. Some know they're lost, but they don't show they're lost. When I was flying to Brazil quite a bit with Pastor Dave, they have a point system. So you fly enough miles, you move up the status of points. And you earn enough points, you get a star. You know, on American Airlines, it's a gold star. And then if you go further up, you're in a platinum star. And if you go further up, you're an executive platinum star. And whenever they announce for boarding of the plane, they say, we'd like to board first class and executive platinum, then platinum. And if the plane's full, you always run into trouble when you put your luggage in the overhead bin. Because if the plane's full, then you may not have room to put your luggage up there. So you want to get it on there first, so then you can, you know, you can take the room and someone else can worry about it. When we would fly, we'd all hurry up and try to squeeze in and find our position. I'm platinum, excuse me, gold, you're behind me. Regular people, good luck with your luggage. And y'all squeeze in trying, and even the executive platinums in the first class are fighting, even though they have all the freedom. It's amazing. It's kind of funny to watch now, because I used to do that, you know, excuse me, sneak in. Sometimes you can sneak in if it's busy, but I found on this trip, because for those who aren't watching, I'm still using a cane for now to get around. So they have what's called a handicap access, which means that if you request it for free, they have someone come and will put you in a wheelchair and wheel you all the way to your plane. And thank God for handicap access. I never realized before, and I don't like to say that word, but I'm learning some things on this process. You don't have to go through hard times to learn these things, but if you're going through a hard time, might as well learn it anyway. I'm learning not to, we'll talk some more about that, but to accept help, and that it's okay to accept help. And so I haven't used a wheelchair for about a year or so, but this was a good mile walk, and I could still do it, but we would be late for every plane on every, you know. So I accepted the handicap helper. They put me in a wheelchair. I made sure to let them know that I don't need the wheelchair, but I'm accept the wheelchair for now. And then I'm going to get out of all this. I made sure to preach along the way, but I still accepted the help along the way. Say this with me: it's okay to accept help. Okay. Because I'm finding out there's a pride in me that I have to kill, that doesn't like to accept help. Listen, they wheel us up through customs, through all, you know, when they do all those checks and everything, and take, I mean, they have lines, so, for the airplanes, but before the airplanes, you have to go through the screening. Yeah. And then when you go international, you have to go through customs. So all these points have long lines of people, and each line is built around the more of a customer you are, the more you're rewarded. So if you are a customer that flies a lot, you get to skip the long line, you get a shorter line. And that's at every stop, at the front desk, at the check-in where they screen you for guns and all that. And at the airplane, and even at customs, they have certain places where if you pay extra, you get to go around the line. And most of you have flown, you understand that. Well, I discovered on this trip that there's the best line. Isn't the richest line? It's not the platinum, executive platinum, first class. The best line is the handicap line. With great pleasure, I was looking at people's belly buttons as they wheeled me past the first class customers. And I mean, they actually used the chair to push people, hit their knees, say, coming through. And my wife and two kids followed faithfully behind as we cut in front of every single line and was blessed to be ushered through quickly. On the plane, they have a pre-check, which means certain people go first, and then the second one is first class, second platinum, platinum, gold. Everyone else is getting up. But you know, before first class, they have handicap. I realize, and this, I wasn't going to tell all that, but we'll just go with where God's going, I guess. I think the church needs to learn something from the world. That the broken should be the most loved, the most welcomed, the most appreciated, the most cared. I felt cared for. Except for in São Paulo. It didn't quite work. We flew from São Paulo. We had to fly from Belo Horizonte, interior of Brazil, to São Paulo International Airport. But we took a domestic flight. And so we landed in the domestic terminal. They have a international terminal. Well, international means every English dual-speaking worker works in the international. Domestic means you're flying from interior Brazil or out to interior, or out to interior Brazil. So that's where all the Portuguese guys work. Well, we had to transfer over. So getting off the plane, they wouldn't allow me to go down the stairs because we landed on the tarmac and had to go down the plane onto the tarmac and catch a bus and ride it to the terminal. And I said, well, I can do that. You know, I may be slow, but I can do that. No. No, we have a special crate that they lift up, and they get you to walk in, and they lift you down. It was like a prison. Felt like a prisoner. You know, hello. It was like a little box with chains for wheelchairs and one chair to sit in. And so I got on that. But they said, your family goes and catches the bus, and you wait for the prison handicap box. And I said, no, I want to go. I don't want to be separated from my family. No, you stay, you know, best English possible. I said, well, where will I meet them? You know, because it's a big airport. And the biggest, one of the biggest in the world. Oh, they'll find you. They'll wait. I said, okay, so we try, as they're pushing us, them one way, me the other way, we tried to signal, okay, you know, go and wait for me where they drop you off. And, of course, it took them an extra 20 minutes to get the handicap box. It's a box where they lift it up to the plane where you can get off. And then they carry the box to the drop-off terminal. And you're just stuck in the box. No windows. Just a box. And some guy that doesn't speak English looking at you, smiling. And so when they finally got me to where the bus dropped the people off, I couldn't find my family anywhere. And they threw me in a wheelchair and started and pushed me over and left me in a spot. And I said, where's my family? No English. I need my family. Finally, I found someone who spoke broken English. And they said, well, where are you supposed to go? Well, Terminal 3, International American, which is a long ways away. Well, they're probably there. No. I told them, we decided they're going to meet where they dropped the bus off. Where did they drop the bus off? Well, somewhere over there, but they're not here. There's thousands of people going back and forth. So now we're have a choice, panic or think about my wife and kids being who knows where. Christy has my passport, my ticket. We didn't think it through this part. And so through much badgering, complaining, going through many different people, we finally got on our phones and You know, we finally reached each other because we don't have international plans. So we both found a Wi-Fi, and she was already at Terminal 3. I only had a few minutes to make it, or else we're going to miss our flight. She couldn't go ahead because she had my ticket and my passport. So I had this little Portuguese guy. I stuffed 50 AIs in his pocket. Go! And like a bullet, we were running through traffic and running through terminals. I mean, it was like a mile almost. It was amazing. This little guy ran me all through there. Got to the customs. Took full advantage of handicap help. I'm telling you, one guy was in first class, getting ready to use all his status, and my little handicap guy just bumped him right out of the way, and all the way through, we made it, found my wife and kids, got to the plane just in time, made it home. Hallelujah. God's not afraid of challenges. You may have to follow him through some, but he's not afraid of challenges. But in all that, I learned something. Number one, it's okay to accept help. Number two, we should be as generous, kind, and hopeful to the broken. The broken should come here and feel welcomed and loved and cared for. And you're not the broken. Okay, we're not the broken. We're the servants. We should be the servants to the broken. When someone new comes, they may not look broken, but as Tim has said many times, God has told us that the person, we're probably the last stop for many people. So you may have been broken when you came, but if you listen to Nathan this morning, get unbroken, get fixed. Then turn around and let's welcome the broken. Let's make them feel loved and hoped and cared for. Before I finish, go back to preaching. I had such a generous time at the church in Brazil. Still love Pastor Dave, and it was, you know, when you build friendships, these are friendships I built over the last 10 years, and then you leave them. It's like you left your kids. I felt like I abandoned them, not being able to go back for 3 years, and it was so comforting for me to be able to go back and reconnect. And they're hungry for what we're walking in. They're hungry for what we have. And it reminds me of, even though we're in the war here, it's because, like Gary told us many times, there's a big target. And if you fall to the center of the target, that's usually where Tulsa is. Why would people move to the center of the target, he would say. You know, because God put you here. That's why. But there's people out there who may not feel the same battle that you're walking through, but what you're walking in is working, and it's changing many lives out there. And what the impact that the message of Pastor Dave birth, the Spirit, Holy Spirit birth through Pastor Dave has brought and is bringing so much fruit around the world and marching us to a real, honest-to-goodness New Testament revival. Hallelujah. So thank you for your prayers. And I was just, I'm realizing how much pride I have to get rid of. and how much I have used and still use what people think about me as important. And I'm realizing it's not about Alan at all. He died the moment I was saved. It's about what of God can I give to someone else? Not what wisdom that I have that I can get. I mean, I could have preached this message 20 years ago, but I have to live this message today. What do I have to offer anybody? What from the natural man can I offer anyone? All the wisdom I can conjure up is going to diminish and be powerless in the end anyway. It's what of God can I give and help other people with? What from Him through this vessel is available? What wisdom? See, if the wisdom comes from God, I can't take any credit for it. If the strength comes from God, I can't take any credit for it anyway. We have to be careful that we portray ourselves as a messenger, as a vessel of love. The love, the ability to love the broken, doesn't come from the natural man anyway. It comes from Him. The care, the wisdom, what we preach, what we teach, what where the strength for that comes from. It's all from Him anyway. Pride takes credit, glory for it, for what God does. And I'm learning that. I'm learning. I'm just being honest today. Not that I'm not honest all the time. But I'm learning it's okay to be a broken vessel. And God will still work with you through you because it's Him anyway. I think back to the early days. We had a preacher in the early days who had come through. Not here, but when I was younger. And he was battling a disease in his body. I don't know if it was Parkinson's, but he shook. And a wonderful preacher, wonderful teacher. And he come through, and I was always arrogant. Like, shouldn't he be healed to preach? And so when I suffered a battle with my body 3 years ago, that's the first thing I thought. Who's going to want to hear me preach? You know, when they wheeled me into the first physical therapy session. Well, nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a healing evangelist. You know, going through difficult times does not stop you from being who God's called you to be. But I was so appreciative of the family in Brazil receiving me. Just like I'm appreciative of you guys receiving me. And it's helped me to see how much pride I had in judging other people and using my own victory as positioning myself in executive platinum. Because look at my victory. Then watching a handicapped person get wheeled by. Excuse me. Someone more important is coming through. They're broken. The broken get first class with God. Let's go back to verse 18. Chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what is the power of God? The message of the cross. Now it's important we understand this. Let's hold on to that. Let's go down to verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So even the weakest that God has is stronger than anything man can create. What's the first thing that happens when you come to a problem? Your natural man comes up with a solution. But your spiritual man also hears the solution that comes from the throne room of God. The choice is, which solution do you listen to? Which solution do you yield to? When all hell breaks loose, when all struggle breaks loose, all resistance comes, that's when the questions come. It's easy to celebrate in victory when all you have is victory. It's easy to stand on the word when the word produces prosperity and executive platinum access. But are you willing to stand on the word when all hell breaks loose? Does the circumstances change the Word of God? Never. Not one bit. Never changes the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth, the ultimate truth, and will even stay the truth. The truth stands alone. It's whether you stand with it or not. For you see your calling, brethren, verse 26, and not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, verse 28. And the base things of the world, or insignificant things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no, what? Flesh should glory in his presence. Now, let's stop there. The moment, I'm preaching to myself, the moment that I take the liberty to join myself to the victory is the moment I attach my flesh to the glory that should only belong to God. Because that's the moment that I also position myself higher than you. Not on purpose. Not because maybe I'm trying to make you think that you're littler than I am. But maybe because I want you to think that I'm something. That I have something of value. When we realize that we're born of him, this old body, this natural man, is going to fall off of you one day. You're going to receive a new body. You'll be completely a new creature that came from God. Born of God. A new creature born of God. Not born of Adam. So how can we take any glory, any pride? I'm learning how to accept help and learning how to see how little value my natural man has to offer anybody. It only gets in the way. If I can't give you a message that came from heaven, if I can't give you strength that came from heaven, if I can't help you to tap into strength that comes from him, then really I'm setting you up to fail. Amen. But there's a walk for every believer that's born of him. No matter where you come from, no matter how big of a fight you see in front of you, that says there's power available from God for you. Now, what happens if someone comes to you and you're a healing evangelist? Raise the dead? Yeah. Did you cast the devils? Cast the devils. See blind eyes healed? Yeah. Amen. Me, brother. Open deaf ears? Yeah. Hallelujah. Got a list. All these on my checklist. You know, us preachers rub shoulders. We start dropping the competitive victories, you know. Someone comes to you and says, hey, I need some help. All right, where do you need to be healed? Let me listen. Is it your back? No, not my back. Your foot? No. Heart? No. No, my body's really, I'm in good shape. Oh. You need to be raised from the dead? No. Need a devil cast out of you. That's the problem. No. Oh, man. That's all I got. Do you know there's more people who need stuff outside of miracles than need a miracle itself? They need help with their flesh. But there's power available for that too. That no flesh, verse 29, should glory in His presence. This is a very powerful statement. We can go back in the Old Testament and talk about flesh in the Holy of Holies. What happens when you touch God's anointed? How flesh dies. We can talk about strange fire when they mixed worship with their own agenda and how that brought brokenness and curses. But look at verse 30. But of Him, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. There's a humility in this. I'm having to learn it the hard way. When I was in the hospital, I had some visitors, young people, and I said, I told them what the Lord showed me, how a principality came, and I said, now I probably could beat this principality with a little more finesse than the way I'm doing it right now, but I'm going to beat him anyway. You know, we don't give up, amen? There's a humility in this message here. That's in 1 Corinthians. Relying on God as your strength, as your only strength. Relying on His wisdom. That's His wisdom. Relying on His power for you. Paul goes on to say, we'll start in verse 31, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You're going to brag, brag on Him.
Amen.
If you attach yourself to it, when I say yourself, you attach your flesh to it, then you take everyone who doesn't have your flesh and make it impossible for them to do what you did. It's like a world champion bodybuilder trying to teach a one-armed teenage girl how to bench press 1,000 pounds. Because you attached yourself to it. Instead of saying, it's not me. It's Him. And you have as much access to Him as anyone does. And if you do it in your own strength, you're not going to be able to do what I did. But if you learn to lean onto Him, He's got a path for you that'll take you step by step. It may be a different path, as far as it may take you a little longer, may take you a little bit different way, but you're going to end up with the same result. You can get there. Because His power, His wisdom is available for every child of God. That it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of, I'm looking here in the New King James, but help me out here, of what? What's it say in the King James? Man's wisdom. New King James says human wisdom. Same thing. In other words, wisdom that originates in your natural man. I did not come with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, we can circle this word power of God. If your marriage is broken, but your body's not, do you know there's power available to help you with your marriage? If emotionally you're broken, but your body's not, how many know there's power available from God to help you? The power of God. The best definition for this these verses is this. If you rely on your natural man's wisdom, or the wisdom from any natural man, there is no access to the power of God through natural wisdom to solve your problem. But if you rely on wisdom that comes from God, no matter if it's from the pulpit, if it's from the Holy Ghost speaking to you, there's power available to accomplish the thing that you need. Verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. So I'm going to read one more scripture, then I'm going to close. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Now, he mentions two things here. That you're part of the body, so you have a place in the body that's different than anyone else. No one else can do what you do. You're not supposed to do what everyone else does. You're supposed to find out from the Holy Ghost what your place is in the body and let him put you to work doing that and be content in doing that. Individually also, he mentions you individually. To do your job for the body, how many know the grace is there? The anointing's there? The wisdom's there, the strength is there. Everything you need to do individually in your part is there. There's some of you can do things that I cannot do. I don't want to do what you're supposed to do. And you don't want to do what I'm supposed to do. But when we start to position ourselves as executive platinum, in other words, my job is more important than your job, then everyone tries to strive for the job behind the podium. And that's why we have people who should never be behind the pulpit, trying to be behind the pulpit. That's another message I won't get into. All because they feel less important. See? But if we're all equal, no matter if we have different jobs, this is corporately as a body. But then he says something very important I want us to look at. Verse 5 again. And so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of, this is the one that really stood out to me, one another. Is that the same in the King James? Individually members of one another. So even in individually, it doesn't allow you to stand alone. Individually of one another. Meaning, talking about a guy who just got pushed through 15 airports and bypassed all the first class people. Whose wheelchair are you pushing? Because he says, individually of one another. You're not allowed to live by yourself. There's two messages the body needs to preach. One to the broken, and one to the wheelchair pushers. If you're supposed to be a wheelchair pusher, pusher. Quit acting like you're broken. Quit getting in the broken line. We know you're not broken. We know you should be pushing wheelchair by now. Because that is the goal. To be useful for the kingdom. But without taking credit. Look at how I overcame. Hey, you overcame because of God. Listen, I remember going to a emergency room with a family. A close friend of ours had a brain aneurysm. We're in the emergency room. It was pretty serious. It was very serious, so serious that we pretty much realized unless there was an incredible miracle, he was going to heaven. Two different groups showed up because this man was a part of the faith camp that we're all kind of part of. A bunch of preachers showed up from the faith camp, stood around, everyone prophesied and prayed. The number of four or five people that prophesied to this man's 13-year-old daughter said, he's going to get better. And they all gave different versions of how they saw him rising up out of that deathbed situation to a 13-year-old girl. These are men and women speaking for God. That's what prophesying is. Speaking for God. If I went back to the Old Testament, we would line them all up and we would stone them to death. And each of them gave a prophecy, not a hope, not a prayer, a prophecy. Honey, do I have a 13-year-old girl here today? 12-year-old, anyone's 12, 13, guy, boy, girl? Come on up here. It's going to be my practice. Now, this is just, don't get nervous. I'm not going to embarrass you. She acts like she's 20. I think she always thinks she's like a little adult. Come a little closer, honey. Come over to this side, so I can put my arm around you. Now, we're just acting, okay? Her dad, now her dad's just fine, but in the story of what happened many years ago, she's looking at you. Everyone look at this little girl. Her dad is in the emergency room, hooked up to beeping machines. The doctor said he's already dead pretty much. There's no hope. What guts it takes to come up to this little girl, look her in the eye and say, God, show me a vision. Your daddy's going to be just fine. He's going to get healed, get up, and walk out of here holding your hand. The other one, I saw your dad get up first in a wheelchair and then a cane and then be totally fine. He's going to be there to walk you down the aisle, honey. Now, there is four or five preachers prophesied that to this little girl. Now, look at her in the eye. He passed away the next day. There was another group there, good old Baptist folks. And those good old Baptist folks volunteered one day a week to go to the emergency room and to hand out sandwiches. Homemade, not just store-bought, homemade white bread, bologna, and the fake cheese on it. And let me tell you something. I felt the love from that sandwich. I'd love to forget it. Because I was in the middle of all this chaos, trying to help this little girl survive. And I felt more love out of the sandwich than I did of all the fake prophets. See, when you're caring for people, you got to care for them, not for you. What's best for them? And unless you're sure it's God, you better say something proper. Like, honey, we're praying your dad's going to get better. We know God's will is for him to get better. We're praying for that. But you don't make promises that you're not sure can come to pass. Because we know God's will, but you're the vessel he's got to use. And it's okay not to be there yet. You can speak His word, but not break someone's heart while you're doing it. You can put hope. I remember that little sandwich. I remember thinking, wow, I appreciate that. Like, for the first time in my life, I realized there is work in the gospel that isn't preaching. I mean, I understood it, but that was the first time in my life I appreciated it. The same way I appreciated being pushed through the airport. Not one of them looked down at me. Not one of them treated me anything but extra special. I thought, wow. I've been through 1,000 airports and maybe recognized one wheelchair. But in the wheelchair, they're everywhere. There's like a dozen wheelchairs in every corner. There are people being pushed all over this. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of broken people being pushed around in airports. I never realized that until I was broken enough to need one. You don't have to get there to appreciate it. So when you're caring for people, you care for them. Thank you, sweetheart. You did good. Give her a big hand clap. I wanted to bring her up so that you could see that you can hurt people. Let's be good wheelchair pushers. Amen? Let's be a blessing. Someone's broken. They need to be strengthened and hope, given hope that beyond your own ability, whether it's Superman or it's super broken, it doesn't make a difference. Superman isn't strong enough to fix your problem. Just like super broken isn't strong enough to fix your problem. But God is strong enough to walk with you and give you wisdom and power in every problem you're facing. Not just in broken bodies, but in broken marriages, in broken children, in broken finances. There's power from heaven for you if you get your wisdom from Him instead of from your natural man. Amen. Let's be a blessing to people. Let's bring hope to people. I was reminded on this trip why I got into ministry in the first place. Not to be a preacher, not to make a living as a preacher, to help people. Father, help us to help people. Let's just close in prayer. Father, help us to help people. Give us your heart for the broken. Give us your love, your compassion, your strength. Help us to be a lover of people. Thank you. It's not in us. None of us are unqualified or disqualified. That right where we are today, let us love, care, bring life, your hope, your strength into every situation we face. That will leave people better off than when we came. Directed to you, glory to you, that no flesh can glory in what you have done in our life and in the lives we touch. So, Father, I thank you now that you will begin to put people in front of each one of us. People who need a little love, a little strength. We may not be able to get them yet where we want them to be, but we sure can add hope and life, and we can direct them to the helper, you. We can direct them to the strength, you. We can direct them to where wisdom is found, in you. We can direct them to the power from you. Father, help us to be your hands, your heart, your voice into people. We thank you for that. We give you our lives. We give you access to our lives. We give you whatever you need, permission to direct our steps, to speak through us. And we thank you today that we will be the best wheelchair pushers. That the people we're pushing in that wheelchair will feel first class, loved, accepted, whole, because they were in our hands. Birthing us is love. Birth inside of us is love for people. Let us heal your heart toward the broken. Father, let us feel your heart for the broken. Let us know how much you love people, even the worst, the ones who are the worst off, the ones who've given up on their own life, the ones who are so far gone into deception. You love them. Help us to love them too. With your heart. We know that with your heart will also come the power to get them free. We give you all praise and glory for everything good in our life. For every little miracle, every little wisdom, every little word of encouragement. We're so grateful. Never give up on us. That you believe in us. We're grateful for you. And we won't give up. We know there is a love that's available. A power that's available to heal the broken. To set the captives free. To open those blind eyes every time. To heal broken, crippled children. To put families together. We know it's out there. We won't accept second best. Thank you, Father. Thank you for letting us have your heart. I'm going to ask you to do this with me. This is a form of intercession that's here, but I'm going to ask you just to stand, if you would, and just take 1 minute. If you'll just play, just for the atmosphere, take 1 minute, or two if you like, there's no hurry. But give your life to God in this way. I know if you're here, you've already given your life to God, but in this manner, from your heart, just say, God, where I'm at, I'm yours. I'm available. Help me to have your heart, and the people you put in front of me, the people who are in front of me, I will, Lord, teach me how to love them your way, how to strengthen them with your strength instead of my strength. How to add your wisdom instead of my wisdom. How to help them to get to the next place they have to go. So he's asking that from us today. Permission to hire you as a wheelchair pusher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Once again, I just want to say thank you for praying for us on this trip and continue to pray. We have the victory. Amen. And if you like prayer, please come on to the Green Line and we'll be happy to join our faith with yours. You are released and God bless you.